Ah, greetings in Christ, Brother Marcus. Brother Michael here. I just read your email, and I want to tell you, I felt that you did a really wonderful job in your email explaining all that you did. And I think that you did a remarkable job with the conciseness of it. And I actually have to say that I was quite impressed, Marcus, with your ability to communicate your experience. And I found myself feeling very satisfied that you have really covered, if you will, all the bases that you know to cover. You've applied all the principles that you know, and you've really, it sounds like, humbled yourself before the Lord, checked your heart for sin, and you're being obedient to Christ to the best that you know. And I trust that you are familiar with the actionable teachings of Christ, and that you're not just trying to serve God out of your own human reasoning, thinking, or what comes out of a lot of these so-called church buildings, but that you've intentionally familiarized yourself with the teachings of Christ and put them into practice. So for example, you know, you would see that Christ demands that we forgive, and so you would make sure that you don't have any forgiveness. And Christ demands that we take up our cross and deny ourselves, that we lose our life to find it, that we are born again, and all of that. And I would imagine that you are. It sounds like you've had indeed a very real experience with God, that His Spirit has testified to your spirit that you are indeed a child of God. And that being the case, then you now find yourself in a place that many better than you and I have also struggled with, and that's being at the mercy of God when He's pulled the rug out from underneath of us, and we don't have a lot of feeling ground to stand on. So I will tell you this, the most helpful thing that I can tell you is to share with you the experience of Madame Guyon, who was a French mystic about 500 years ago. And she is a remarkable Christian woman. I have no doubt in my mind that she indeed is one of God's favorites. He's not a God of favoritism by way of justice and salvation, but there is no doubt that He has favorites. I mean, the Apostle John was clearly the one who Jesus loved. And Jesus clearly took, you know, Peter, James, and John onto the Mount of Transfiguration and into the Garden of Gethsemane. And He revealed things to them that He didn't to the other disciples. So Jesus definitely has intimates. I think in all of human history, Madame Guyon, you may have heard me mention her many times. I used to call her Madame Guyon, just easier to say than Guyon. And it's M-A-D-A-M-E-G-U-Y-O-N, her last name, Guyon. And I just immediately felt to share with you, I'm going to read to you just a quick chapter that was out of her autobiography that I read years ago, where I took a great deal of comfort from this when I was in my year. And I found myself going, my goodness gracious, if I could barely get through a year, how did this sister get through seven? So I'd like to share this with you and tell you that when you've done all you can, you stand, Ephesians 6. You stand and you throw yourself at the mercy of God. I used to tell people all the time that you throw yourself at the mercy of God. You abandon yourself to Him and you say to Him, have your way with me. And you almost get to a place where you stop wrestling and you just acquiesce. You accept that this is the dreadful state that the Lord has chosen for you for this time. It's a time of death, a time of darkness. You know, there's been many people. John of the Cross wrote Dark Night of the Soul. A lot of people are familiar with that. And it sometimes lasts a lot longer than a night. It doesn't mean a night. It can be a long season. I can tell you, you can get to a place where the feelings subside a tremendous amount. Like, I haven't had the feelings, I don't think, since 2018. I don't need it anymore. And I'm so thankful that I've graduated from the need to have the feeling, but I have a joy and a peace and a sense and an understanding by the Spirit that the Lord is with me. He is for me. He's working in me. He's gracing me, et cetera. So it's different, but I don't have that feeling anymore. Like I used to have all this feeling, touchy feely stuff. I was a real feeler and the Lord graduated me out of that. And he used 2018 actually to help me with that a great deal. So I always say after you've done all that you can do, you abandon yourself and you say, I am the Lord's, bought at a price for him to do with as he sees fit. But no doubt this will be a very big encouragement to you, what you're getting ready to hear. Chapter 21, I believe this is in part one. She's got part one and part two of her autobiography. She writes, about this time, I fell into a state of total privation. Sounds like you, right? Which lasted nearly 7 years. Now, this is after she's already had extraordinary experiences and supplications to her soul, deep, intimate, extraordinary communion in the Spirit. She's had getting to know God experiences that are second to none by this point. So she's gone from this total spiritual ecstasy to now a period of privation that lasts nearly 7 years. I seemed to myself cast down like Nebuchadnezzar to live among the beasts, a deplorable state, yet of the greatest advantage to me. Now, the greatest advantage to her, she writes of after the fact. This is all written while she's in prison at the end of her life, 7 years, you know, basically condemned to die in a prison cell in a dungeon because of books that she wrote and teaching of private prayer and private communion with God, which was totally against the teachings of the Catholic Church at this time. She was seen as a heretic and an apostate and a deceived devil. And they were going to punish her for teaching this, standing against the institution of the Roman Catholic system of public prayer. The priests are the only ones that can lead you into the reading of the word, the understanding of the word, and into the presence of God. And she was teaching people, no, you can actually have a personal relationship and get to know him yourself, communing with God in your spirit. So now she says, this was of the greatest advantage to me by the use which divine wisdom made of it. This state of emptiness, darkness, and impotency went far beyond any trials I had ever yet met. Sound familiar? I have since experienced that the prayer of the heart, when it appears most dry and barren, nevertheless, is not ineffectual nor offered in vain. God gives what is best for us, though not what we most relish or wish for. And here's where I would say again, you throw yourself at the mercy of God and you say, Lord, who am I to say, have your way with me, do to me as you see fit. I've tried everything I can to please you, to know you, to experience you, to press into fullness. Apparently, this is not what you have for me. I'm at your mercy. Whatever I'm missing, you must show me. And until you're willing to do so, I wait here patiently and I'm at your mercy. And you just keep yourself. You stand. Ephesians 6. Were people but convinced of this truth, she writes, they would be far from complaining all their lives. By causing us death, he would procure us life for all our happiness, spiritual, temporal, and eternal, consists in resigning ourselves to God, leaving it to him to do in us and with us as he pleases. Ah, I tell you, my friend, to see her speak this, I haven't read this in years. It's the exact medicine I'm prescribing and have for many people is you resign yourself, you acquiesce to your maker. You recognize that you belong to him and he gets to do with you as he sees fit. If he wants to cast you into a shadow of darkness, he gets to do it. If he wants to put you on a cross that has a fire underneath of it, he gets to do it. So my friend, it's really important to recognize God is supreme. And obviously he doesn't want to have you missing out on any of him because of sin or because of disobedience or because of a lack of faith. You see? So he wants to make sure you're doing these things. In this instance, this woman had exhibited the highest level of obedience, highest level of faith, highest level of cross-carrying, and still even her she has this experience. So we leave it to him to do in us and with us as he pleases, and with so much the more submission as things please us less. So the things that please us less, we submit to even more, right? Not my will be done, but yours. This is the cup my Father has put into my hands, Jesus said in John 18:11. Remember, shall I not drink it? So she writes, by this pure dependence on his Spirit, everything is given us admirably. Our very weaknesses in his hand prove a source of humiliation. If the soul were faithful to leave itself in the hands of God, sustaining all his operations, whether gratifying or mortifying, suffering itself to be conducted from moment to moment by his hand and annihilated by the strokes of his providence. I mean, this is some really sharp, convicting language. This is going all the way, right? Without complaining or desiring anything but what it has, even the darkness that you're in right now, my friend, it would soon arrive at the experience of the eternal truth, though it might not at once know the ways and methods by which God conducted it there. People want to direct God instead of resigning themselves to be directed by him. So for example, you would like to direct him to lead you into a brighter path, into a place where you have more feeling, into a place where you have more light, into a place where you have more experience, right? Like I would have wanted in 2018. True Christianity is the total denial of self and carrying the cross, whatever it may be. And in this instance, you're carrying a number of years of feeling a sense of distance from God. That's a heavy cross, brother. But as you can see here, people have carried heavier, right? So we're to be encouraged from this. She says, people want to direct God instead of resigning themselves to be directed by him. They want to show him a way instead of passively following that wherein he leads them. Oh, I can tell you, I have this in me. Oh, Lord, you should. Oh, Lord, it would. Oh, and so many times I have conjectured, oh, Lord, it'd be great if you did this. And I'm wrong every time. I'm learning over decades to not be so quick to conjecture, to not be so quick to give God suggestions and to really just acquiesce. My wife and I, we love the word acquiesce, Marcus. And that means to totally give in and totally allow the Lord to have his way. I have found such peace in that. It's the striving against God that is very abrasive. Striving to enter the narrow gate is different. Keeping sin out of your life, always striving to do that, that's different. But when you're doing all of that and you're still not having this warm intimacy with Father and that feeling of companionship with him and the sense that he is with you and for you, that's his business, right? He gets to do this. He gets to allow us to go into these times of darkness, and that's where we need to acquiesce and not fight against him, but actually to give in even more. Okay? They want to show him a way instead of passively following that wherein he leads them. Hence, many souls called to enjoy God himself and not barely his gifts, spend all their lives in running after little consolations and feeding on them, resting there only, making all their happiness to consist therein, meaning the little visible, what I call external visible graces that happen, that answered prayer, that little blessing, this little favor. And then you run, you know, getting consoled off of that or the feelings that you have and all that. And that can be a real up and down existence. She writes, if my chains and my imprisonment in any way afflict you, I pray that they may serve to engage you to seek nothing but God for himself alone, and never to desire to possess him, but by the death of your whole selves, never to seek to be something in the ways of the Spirit, but choose to enter into the most profound nothingness. Marcus, you have a unique opportunity right now that God has given you to sink into this profound nothingness, to absorb yourself and acquiesce and shrink into the doing of God's will in this time of a total depletion of all feelings and all light, and to sink into it, trusting your soul into God's hands in a way that previously you have not. It very well may be that Father is trying to bring a level of death to your self-life that you haven't yet realized. I liken it to Lazarus trying to fight the sickness. But someone pointed out that before God could do the miracle of resurrection life in Lazarus, he had to wait until Lazarus stopped fighting to stay alive. He was fighting against the will of God. The will of God was for him to die. It's a picture, I believe, of God's will for all of us to die. And I do wonder if perhaps God has brought you into a wilderness experience, and that perhaps by your not acquiescing all the way, perhaps by your not sinking down as low as nothing can possibly be, if you're not perhaps extending your journey in this part of the wilderness. The Israelites, amongst all the scorpions and snakes and scorching hot sunny days and thirsty waterless ground, they prolonged their experience in that state of nothingness, that they were caught in between. It's a terrible place to be. It's a place that God brought them on purpose, but he never intended to keep them there that long, right? I'm not saying this is true, but it could be. But I wonder if God sees you still fighting like Lazarus to stay alive in some way, when in order to get through all the way to life, you must go all the way into death. I really sense the Spirit may be leading me to ask you about that. Okay? Give that some thought. Are you still wrestling to stay alive when in God's kingdom, remember, his kingdom is reverse. If you want to go up, you must go down. If you want to become strong, you must become weak. If you want to be honored, you must be dishonored. If you want to be first, you must be last. If you want to be wise, you must become a fool. If you want to live, you must die. You see, everything is reverse in the kingdom of God. It sounds like the Father may have a special call on your life to enter into a type of death that not everybody gets called into. And God may be allowing you to finally wear yourself out to the point where you're now kind of sick and tired of being sick and tired of the wrestling. And you're maybe now at a place where you're willing to quit fighting against the sickness, if you will, the spiritual sickness, the darkness, and you're willing to just enter totally into it. You see, that takes faith, because it can be scary. Am I losing God? Am I falling away from the faith? When God is asking you to fall all the way into a type of death, and that death is the death of self, the death of the expectation that you can just turn this thing around, you can find the treat. What I see is a tremendous amount of self-effort and searching. Can I do this? Can I do this? You're asking a lot of questions. You're scrambling. And I would say that the God's word to you is the way up is down. The way to life is through death. And you are, I really believe that's why the Lord is not allowing me to go on at this point. I believe this is what the Lord would want you to see, that you need to be willing to die all the way and stop trying to figure it out. Stop trying to work it out. Zechariah 4:6, not by might, not by strength. And I'll say not by human understanding, not by human effort or wisdom, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. We're talking about the God who can speak through Ezekiel, prophesy to these bones, live, and dead bones came alive. So supposing those men had been struggling and struggling and struggling to stay alive, well, the only way they could ever come back from dead or from that sickness, whatever it was that killed them, right? These dead bones, was for them to have fully gone into death. The man's body who was thrown into Elisha's grave, who he comes in contact with as a dead man, he comes in contact with Elisha's bones. And the scripture tells us that that man came back to life by touching Elisha's bones. He came to life through death. And Jesus said, no one who lives in him will ever die. But no one can come to him and know the eternal life of life without dying. It's a very interesting paradox, isn't it? You cannot live without dying, and it takes faith even to die. She writes, I had an internal strife which continually racked me. Now see here, this is so amazing. I should have kept reading, but if you notice, this is where you're at. You have an internal strife that you would need to die to, which continually racked me. Two powers which appeared equally strong seemed equally to struggle for the mastery within me. On the one hand, a desire of pleasing thee. Oh my God, a fear of offending and a continual tendency of all my powers to thee. On the other side, the view of all my inward corruptions, the depravity of my heart, and the continual stirring and rising of self. Sounds an awful lot like your email, which I'm not looking down on you. We all have it in us. But if you go back, you look at your email, I see a continual stirring, internal strife, and rising of self, right? Spiritually, you are sick, Marcus, and you're trying to kick, push, and pull, and effectuate a different outcome, and it won't happen by human strength. I really believe the Spirit is speaking to you right now. My spirit is bearing witness that the Lord would have you go totally into death. And what that means is stopping trying to pick yourself back up, stopping trying to heal your relationship with God, stopping trying to get back into the place you once were, but instead allowing yourself to get there by going backwards, to go up by going down, to go to life by going to death. It doesn't mean that you abandon God, you stop reading the Word. It means you stop trying so hard in your own strength to figure it out. And you literally, you would say to him, Father, tonight, as much as I miss you, as much as I desire you, as much as I long to be where I once was with you, I resolve to no longer make any human efforts to do so. I am going to accept that your hand is pushing me down into death. Lord, help me to carry this cross all the way into death. Help me to not fight against this cross. Wrestling on a cross, my brother, is extremely painful and exhausting. And you can wear yourself out and want to quit and give up on God when the way out is to totally give in and allow yourself and your efforts to sink all the way into death. She writes, what torrents of tears, what desolations have these cost me? Is it possible, I cried, that I have received so many graces and favors from God only to lose them? Does that sound familiar, Marcus? That I have loved him with so much ardor, but to be eternally deprived of him? That his benefits have only produced ingratitude? His fidelity has been repaid with infidelity? That my heart has been emptied of all creatures and created objects and filled with his blessed presence and love in order now to be wholly void of divine power and only filled with wanderings and created objects, meaning creatures, people. She found during this time, just as I did in 2018, the things of the world that once didn't have appeal started to have an appeal to me and to her because you've lost God. It shows you how without him, the only thing you have is the world. If there is no resurrection, if there is no fullness in Christ, let us eat and drink and be merry, for tomorrow we die, Paul says. She writes, I could now no longer pray as formerly. Heaven seemed shut to me, and I thought justly, meaning because she was so corrupt and she had, you know, gone away and lost God, and so she started feeling condemnation. I could get no consolation or make any complaint, nor had I any creature on earth to apply to, meaning to reach out to. You can't say that because you're applying to me and I'm helping you with God's help. I found myself banished from all beings without finding a supportive refuge in anything. Well, incidentally, she does get help when the time had arrived, by the way. In fact, it was Girolamo Savonarola who ends up coming to her rescue at a time that he ends up supporting her and helping her to see that God had not abandoned her in this 7-year period, but he had done something extraordinary in her. I could no more practice any virtue with facility. This is exactly what happened to me in 2018. Alas, said I, is it possible that this heart, formerly all on fire, should now become like ice? I often thought all creatures combined against me, laden with a weight of past sins and a multitude of new ones. I could not think God would ever pardon me, but looked on myself as a victim designed for hell. See here, she starts to believe that she's got a reprobate mind, that she's not part of the elect, and that she's doomed. I would have been glad to do penances. That was a Catholic teaching, to make use of prayers, pilgrimages, and vows, all part of her Catholicism. But still, whatever I tried for a remedy seemed only to increase the malady. Look at this. You see here? Here's the self-effort. You've talked about how it's just gotten worse. But still, whatever I tried for a remedy seemed only to increase the malady. I may say that tears were my drink and sorrow my food. I felt in myself such a pain as I never could bring any to comprehend, but such as have experienced it. See, I have experienced it. You, Marcus, have experienced it. I had within myself an executioner who tortured me without respite. Even when I went to church, I was not easy there. To sermons, I could give no attention. They were now of no service or refreshment to me. I scarcely conceived or understood anything in them or about them. So then she goes on to another part of the story, and she eventually, you know, explains how she comes out of it. But you can see here, I just read to you in a very short paragraph, an experience that she had that lasted 7 years, my friend. That was so humbling to me when I read that. I thought, my goodness gracious, I barely made it for a year. And I honestly, I don't know that I could have made it for 7 years if I had no choice. But that's just horrible. So my brother, I trust that you'll hear the word and encouragement that came from her reading here. And I hope that this blesses you. As I was reading your email, that's exactly what came up for me to share with you. So now maybe just go back and listen to this. I don't think I can add anything to what I've already said. Just go back, listen, and may the Lord grant you the faith and the grace to lose even more of your life than you currently have, that you may lose your life in order to find it. God bless you in the name and grace and blood and spirit and word and truth of the Lord Jesus Christ, Marcus. Amen.